Here we go. Let's see. Sunday morning we talked about the three R's, going back to the three R's, and like reading, writing, arithmetic. And what we did, we just looked at the righteous Jesus. He had to walk the law. He was sinless. And the risen Jesus, which is what people are to be following today through Paul. And then the returning Jesus, which is the one that's coming back. That just going to Acts chapter 1, last part of Luke and Acts chapter 1, just about all the denominations that are out there, give or take some of the really strange ones, really do believe that Jesus is coming back, and he is. And Sunday night we did rule and reign. Reigning. He rules, we reign with him. He's the ruler, not us. There we go. Yeah, that was where it was at. One of the R's. We're trying to stick to the R for a little bit here as like an extracurricular type of a class compared to the reading, writing, arithmetic. And we will participate. And then we'd see how suffering was a key to your reigning with him. And we looked at the tribulation guys who are really going to suffer. And it says right there that they're going to reign with him for the 1,000 years. Then we looked at there is a verse in Revelation that still brings us into the picture. But boy, it isn't. We're not suffering a whole lot today. We're having our challenges. We're having our issues and the things that we have to put up against because we want to be a Christian. We want to follow Paul. We want to try to do right. We still have to be out in the workplace. I'm learning what that's like. And we still have to do a lot of these things, but it's not any of the suffering that they're going to be doing during the tribulation. But anyway, that was Sunday night, and listen to that if you get a chance. It was only 30-some minutes or whatever. Tonight, we're going to look at... Tonight, we're going to look at resurrection. And I still got some of my little thoughts, and we don't know all that kind of stuff in detail necessarily, but it was worth a study for me. It brings up the issue of soul sleep, for one thing. And I don't really worry about that thing because we know what Paul says. And yet we know that even man can put somebody under a chemical and we can blink and wake up, 6 hours later, 10 hours later, whatever. So if man can do something like that, who's to say that we're not going to be with the Lord the moment we die because we're going to a timeless place? There's no time. So we go right to be him. But here we are down here on time. It's like we're crossing into a different realm, and it may appear that there's soul sleep out there. The soul is asleep in the grave, as they say, but we know it doesn't ever say that. And what we're looking at here, when we look at resurrection, we're looking at a bodily resurrection. When will our bodies come up out of the grave? Because the Bible talks about that. And so we have to be careful not just to follow into somebody's teachings and get all excited about something that really doesn't exist. We need to just look at the scriptures as such. So we'll do that tonight. And we know that we'll start off with Hebrews chapter 9, for example. And well, we're going to Hebrews, that's okay, but Hebrews has still got some facts in there for us, true facts, no matter when dispensation. Acts 9:27. I think you probably know the verse anyway. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, it doesn't say we have an appointment. There's not a specific time. It just says it is appointed. We are going to die. Wages of sin is death. We have to die. Unless there's a rapture that takes place between now and then. So, after this, the judgment. Now, two different judgments. White's own judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. And few people are aware of that sort of a thing. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, one of the things I've even noticed by talking with all these kids and meeting a few parents and all these teachers and things is people today, they really have not a clue about God, about the Lord, about the Bible, and yet there's Christianity that they claim all over the place. It's really a serious blindness. So we have judgment coming up after our death. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. If we're Christians, and they're going to go to hell if they're not. And then the second death, they bring them up and white stone judgment, and then they go back cast into the lake of fire. We know all that stuff. So let's look at some resurrection things, just some resurrections according to the scriptures as such here, and see if we can find a couple of verses that don't kind of perk your interest a little bit. I've got a sermon I'd really like to do, but I'm not ready to do that yet, so we will save that. I just came up with another one about 10 minutes ago I'm thinking on, so looking forward to these opportunities here. Let's go to John Let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Christ himself says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So he is the resurrection. So what we're talking about here is what Christ is going to do. And I'll show you some interesting verses that will make you think about it. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. It was such an issue, when you think about it, when Paul was first starting to preach about the resurrection of the dead, that they had never heard this before, other than, you know, the claim that Christ had made and what the apostles were saying and things like that. But Acts chapter 17, verse 32, where it says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Well, they had never seen that before or heard of it. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And so some people clave to Paul, they're claving to him and believe. So some people were interested. How many people today are interested in knowing something about the resurrection? Everybody pretty much thinks that, well, there's going to be a resurrection. Everybody's going to go get to be with the Lord, or everybody's going to be judged. By the, everybody's got their own little... It's just like Paul says about the unknown God. People really don't know. The Bible would clear all that up. Look, for example, up at verse 18 of Acts 17. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. So, we have people today that believe in the resurrection, but they just believe in a resurrection. They just think, yes, that's just all going to take place. And they don't know the details of it. Look at Acts chapter 24. So we know that Paul got into trouble, and one of the things he was showing them was that it was a resurrection, and the resurrection of the dead, and then the possibilities of that. And it says in Acts chapter 24, well, look at verse 21. I mean, again, this is where he's being challenged about this thing. He says in verse 24, I don't want that, I want verse 21. That's what I want. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. So he's being challenged. They don't like what he has to say because he's preaching about the resurrection and the resurrection of the dead, which, you know, there we are. If we look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Where it says, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Okay, so his resurrection, we will go through the same thing. That means our body still has to come up, and we'll go on with that here in a few minutes here. So yeah, it does exist. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15, if it didn't exist, look at 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ had never risen, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. So if there's not a resurrection, then Christ didn't rise. And if that didn't happen, then we're still dead in our sins. And life, I guess it's everybody each for their own when the time comes. That's just how they think. And I've heard people say, I guess I'll just have to talk to God when I see him and tell him, well, I tried to do the best I could, and you know, all those kind of excuses here. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. This was one of his prayers. This was one of the things he was wanting, and he said in verse 10, that I may know him And he wants to know him. And it says, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So the one we see there is the power of his resurrection. So this resurrection is a very important thing to Paul. Let's look at let's look at 1 Peter. It even shows up with Peter in the tribulation as such. Well, of course it would, because they're getting pretty close to theirs, if that's the way it would have turned out. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It does talk about it. He says, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I like that word again in there. It means it's they've had this before. So there's that. Now, here's what we're going to do. Let's go to John chapter 5. Get my pages back in order here. John chapter 5. And let's look at these resurrections, two of them. John chapter 5, verse 28. Just see some interesting verses here. We're going to look at the fact that there are two of them at this point. John chapter 5, verse 28, and it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now remember, Paul's whole picture in this whole scene, and about the Gentiles, and as far as forgiveness versus remission. Remember that the Jews, Israelites, the folks of his chosen people, Abraham's bosom, and all these things that would take place. And when he died, he would go down and preach, and he would come back up and bring those people with him, and all those things that take place. We won't get into a detailed thing of it, but what this shows is that there still are two resurrections. Now look at Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Okay. So there's something there to consider. What are you talking about there? Look at Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, look at verse 15. And have hope toward God, which they themselves will allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead. Okay? Both of the just and unjust. Now, what do we know about justified? We're not justified by works. We're justified by faith. And there are those that were attempted to be justified by works, by the law. And we know that there was a time then that was, and there was a time that it wasn't. Isn't and wasn't and won't be. So, interesting stuff here to be looking at here. So we see that there still is not one general resurrection of everybody. That's what he's not talking about back there in John chapter 5. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay, so now you read some things before that. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So there's your tribulation martyred saints as such. But also notice, just kind of a bunny trail here, the issues that they had to fight with were the witness of Jesus. So they tell people about Jesus, and they didn't worship the beast, didn't take the mark or anything like that, or the image of it even. And yet it also says there, for the word of God. So in the tribulation, which we know in Amos, there's going to be a famine in hearing the word of God, and that there's going to be some that's going to be talking about it, and that's going to be the thing that gets them in trouble. What is it that bothers people today? The concept of Jesus? No, not really. The concept of a God? No heaven, no resurrection. That doesn't bother people. All the stories you hear about him and all these things, love and all that stuff. But just to talk about the fact that this one Bible is the Word of God is what stirs a lot of people. And when you get into conversations about doctrinal things or whatever, and you're doing it in a fair manner, you will end up talking about your King James Bible. So the Word of God, they're going to die even for the Word of God. And we know that we have our problems because of the Word of God. So it just kind of carries through there. So anyway, we see that in verse 5 that there's a first resurrection. So if there's a first resurrection, there must be a second one as well. So what we're going to see here, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're just going to look at some verses tonight to show that there is a resurrection. Well, you know, the rapture, the before the tribulation. Then there's the resurrection after the millennium. First Corinthians 15:20. Slow here, come on there, fingers. 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So, there is a division there in the resurrections. And if it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't be having a resurrection. And if it wasn't for us needing to be resurrected physically in due time, he wouldn't have had to do what he did. But none of us can live like we're supposed to. And so his resurrection is what's why he says, I am the resurrection. Now, the first resurrection, three parts of it, I do believe. And let's go here right on down to, we just read that one, okay. Let's go to John chapter 11. The first resurrection that was very important was his. That had to take place. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. Remember, the believing was the fact that he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. Yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And so he's talking about the fact that I am the resurrection. So Christ has to be the first one to start this whole thing off. And this is what's getting Paul in so much trouble. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now there's something else that takes place. And that's the saints as such, the Christians, the church of God. The church as such, Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, or with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So the dead in Christ, the dead in Christ. So there is still a resurrection there, a bodily resurrection there. So we've got Christ's resurrection, and we've got the one now, then there's a rapture of those that are still alive. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We've already been there once. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. And then we've already been over this verse here. We see right here that this is the resurrection of the church saints at the close of the dispensational church, as it's called. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just doing this quickly here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. There it is again, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, this first resurrection. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. Three parts. You've got Christ's resurrection, you've got those at the rapture, and then you've got those during the tribulation. The martyrs. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. We read that verse a few minutes ago. These folks that were beheaded in the for the worship of the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, etc., etc. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So they were there before. So these all take place before the millennium. Okay? And that's not a big thing. And then you've got to look at Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is in the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So it's mentioned. Look at Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same name. Same time, at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And there it is, many of them shall sleep, and the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So you've got the Old Testament people, you've got the martyrs, you've got the during the tribulation, you've got the Christians, all following Christ's resurrection. And you put all those together, and you see that you have a first resurrection, in general, split up in all those different segments. Now, let's go to Revelation 20. We've already been there. Let's go back to that thing again. I guess we're still close to that. Revelation 20, verse 5, just the next verse over. And we see that the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So, and we know what takes place during the White Throne Judgment. They're come up out of hell. So it's pretty simple, really, when you think about it. There's two resurrections, first and second. You've got the resurrection of life, and you've got the resurrection of damnation. And one follows the millennium, White Throne Judgment. One is before the millennium. You've got Christ, you've got the Christians today, if they're dead. We're talking about the bodily resurrection part, to be absent bodies and present with the Lord. Our souls are with Him, and everybody else is in hell, but the bodies we're talking about here. And He'll bring it all together again. And then you've got the martyrs during the tribulation, and those that are resurrected as such will be with Him during the millennium, reigning. He rules, we reign. When that's all said and done, the devil's cast out, and the devil comes back and fights all this stuff, and all those things take place, then there will be that another resurrection of the damnation. So, I mean, it's just relatively a simple thing, and why is it even so important to us? Well, I don't know. Maybe you'll get an opportunity to talk to somebody, and they've got this general unknown God that they know that they're just going to be resurrected, and let's try to show them a few verses in that Bible that kind of point to the fact that, you know, you still get to, one of them is a good one, and one of them is not a good one. The rapture is a good thing, but after the rapture, if you miss the rapture as such, even if they recognize that it's over and come and gone, would they be considering understanding what the tribulation is all about? Well, how do they know what the tribulation is all about? Well, they can read Hebrews through Jude. And they can read the book of Revelation. They can find out what it's going to be like. They can find out what they're going to have to do. There is a possibility of them being resurrected again after that whole thing. But then they're going to go as martyrs, which is a horrible way to go, as far as I'm concerned. And we think we're being martyred today. In some respects, we are. We have a lot of suffering today. Mental suffering. We even have, you know, spiritual such suffering that is hard on us. We don't have the physical suffering other than embarrassment and shame of participating in something we ought not to be. And, you know, all the things that we're forced to do by our jobs or by parents or by reality, as they say, that the people come up with the fact, well, it's not practical as an excuse. Well, if it was practical, if Christianity was a practical thing, then we wouldn't suffer. And if you don't want to suffer, you don't have to. You can trust the Lord to be your Savior, and all things are lawful. Have at it. But if you're going to try to follow that thing, or you're going to try to follow that liberty in Christ, then you are going to have some challenges. Nothing like the martyrs are going to have during the tribulation, and there's a resurrection of them. But it's not the best way to go. That's all. And maybe you have an opportunity to talk to some more people about some of the details of this thing, because you've got the Old Testament to deal with, you've got the New Testament to deal with, and you've got Paul's time to deal with, you've got the tribulation to deal with, Then you've got the millennium to deal with, and then after the millennium. And the white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. All these things come into play, and it's like all this is all the stuff that either people don't want to know anything about, or they buy books that tell everybody about it, and they got all sorts of these designs, these creative ideas of what's going to be taking place. We just looked at the scriptures, and we know that that's the way it is. The details of it, I don't know. I think it all fits with Daniel chapter 12, where he says these things are sealed to the time of the end. So people are just making money off of this stuff. So you've got the first resurrection, you've got Christ, you've got the Christians, and you've got the martyred saints. You've got the second resurrection, which comes up after the resurrection of the damnation, after the millennial reign of Christ and us who will reign with Him, not rule, but reign. And so it doesn't have to be an unknown God issue. It doesn't have to be an unknown thing. It just doesn't have to be. But we're all being around people who know nothing about the Bible, but they know a lot about religion. And it's a difficult thing to be around that, as I'm learning, and see how the conversations ever come about. I look at the names that are on here tonight, and I realize that everybody that's on there has tried to make changes in their life, and they've tried to do some things differently, and I know that every one of you has been hassled over the thing. And I suppose that is suffering, if you stay with it. And I'll talk to you Sunday about something that will probably most likely take place for all of us who are trying to do something right, trying to make some changes, and trying to grow in knowledge and judgment, and trying to look at those things that are approved unto the Lord. And the results will be a resurrection. Which one are you part of, or just give you something to look at? So there you go. It's just a shorty. But give you a chance to look those verses up. I don't have the notes online tonight. They're sitting right here. I can probably slap them up there fairly soon. I'll have some time tonight. But there you go. Two resurrections. First and second. One's before the millennium, one's after the millennium. The first one's got Jesus resurrecting, you got the Christians resurrecting, you got the rapture in that thing as well, and you've got the martyred saints coming off, and then you got Daniel talking about it a little bit, and it's all taking place, and then you got the resurrection after the millennium of the damnation. They go through the white stone judgment, and off they go to the lake of fire. So yeah, it all takes place. It isn't just one sweet little resurrection when Jesus comes back and wins the whole world. That's just not going to happen, and it's too bad people think that. Anyway, there you go. Y'all have a good evening, and I've got some things Sunday I think you'll find pretty interesting. I hope to see you back on Sunday. And there you are.